Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, sorry I did not bring all of my voice. I left some of it at karaoke last night. But with me today to talk about the topic of the morning, I have John Dickinson Martellaro. Hi, John.
Yes, I be that. Good morning, Kelly.
I'm glad you're here with me today. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Huh? With the professor in rock bottom.
I'm glad to have you with me here, Brian. Also, it's been that kind of morning. All right. So we're going to start with Apple casually sliding into everybody's DMs with a new laptop that they just sort of dropped via press release and went, oh, 16-inch MacBook Pro that everybody keeps talking about like it's totally a thing. Guess what? Totally a thing. John, you've been taking a peek at the specs on this. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about it besides the fact that it's a 16-inch screen?
Well, let me adjust that right off the bat. I read yesterday that in an article that was giving us a preview that the current 15-inch MacBook is actually 15.4 as opposed to 15.0. Mm-hmm. And so the euphemistic jump from 15 to 16 is actually 15.4 to 16, which isn't as much.
But is it 16 or is it also, is it like 16.2 or something?
That I don't know. I assume it's 16.0 from everything I've read.
Okay.
So let me take a look at the tech specs.
Now here's the one big thing that I've noticed between these two machines. The
16.0.
It is 16.0. Okay. One of the big things I've noticed is that this is still a touch bar machine, but physical escape
gloriously,
key.
Gloriously, all by itself, sitting there all alone on a little island by itself, a hardware escape key.
So,
holy cow.
I feel like that key itself is proof that Apple's listening to customers. So,
yeah, Apple does this to us on purpose. You know, they go through the design fever and they come out with something they think is really, really cool. And everybody goes, nope. And they nope out. And then later, Apple gives us what we really wanted. And we're so overjoyed that we finally got what we should have gotten in the first place.
Well,
but I think it's more fundamental than that. I mean, I agree with John's assessment there. But at the same time, I think it's more fundamental. It really feels like Apple is giving a crap about Macs again.
Yeah,
deeply.
We have evidence continues to pile up that Apple actually cares about Macs
and Mac users.
You know, there's all the signs of a shifting team status. Mm-hmm. You know, in December 16, Mark Gurman had that big article at Bloomberg about the disarray of the Mac team and problems. And
you mean December of 2016, by the way?
December of 2016.
Yeah, just to clarify.
Yeah, of course he wasn't around in 1916. I was thinking about
December 16th.
December of 2016. The thing to
so,
me,
so that is all the earmarks of a resurrection of a team, mm-hmm. a new vision, the departure of Johnny Ives, a reemphasis, as Brian said, and it's showing.
Well, it does seem to be showing.
It's to me the second half of that is that they're not just caring about Macs, but they're caring about Mac users because it was people who wanted an escape key back, and it was people who wanted the butterfly keyboard to be nuked from low Earth orbit, and it was people actually trying to use a machine where they regularly have to hit the escape key having trouble. It was people regularly typing on that keyboard having trouble that sort of forced some of this stuff to change. And that's what's really nice. We've also seen today Phil Schiller came out and talked about the keyboard. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. He did an interview talking about the new, it's a new iteration of the scissor keyboard mechanism as opposed to the butterfly mechanism, which is the one that everybody's heard about.
Which requires the base to be a little thicker, and gloriously, it is. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah.
Give us more room for air. Give us more room for cooling. Give us more room for a scissors keyboard. Give us what we want. You know, I wrote an article the other day about how buying a MacBook Pro isn't as joyful as it used to be. Mm-hmm. This appears on the surface. Now, I'm sure we'll find out problems like we found out before about how a guy had to put his MacBook Pro in a freezer to cool it down. But I don't think that'll happen this time. But I think we'll find out more in time. But my first blush reaction to it is this is a joyful machine.
Well, yes, Brian.
I thought it would be, while we're talking about the keyboard and Phil Schiller, I thought like reading his quote would be appropriate.
Please do.
People sometimes, this is an interview he did with CNET, people sometimes underestimate how much work goes into a keyboard. And that's why most keyboards in the industry don't change for 10 or 20 years. We decided that while we were advancing the Butterfly keyboard, we would also, specifically for our pro customers, go back and really talk to many pro customers about what they want, the most want in a keyboard, and did a bunch of research. The team took the time to do the work to investigate, research, explore, and reinvent. And that was that, you know, reading that was when this notion popped into my head that evidence is piling up that they give a crap about the Mac and Mac users and pro users. And now we don't know if this device has soldered in RAM yet or soldered in SSD. We don't yet know that. That seems likely.
I'm betting it does.
Because Apple, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, it is a little bit thicker, right? Is that what we're getting? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not. And at the very least, if it is soldered in, we at least have options, some pro level of options for
64
gigabytes of RAM in a laptop.
Yeah.
Glorious.
Yeah. And it starts at 512 gigabytes of storage, which is a very reasonable storage.
For $23.99, right?
Yeah.
We should talk about that price in a second, but at $27.99, that does include a full terabyte
of SSD,
and it's a mere $400 for another terabyte for two terabytes,
and configurable up to 8 terabytes,
right?
If you wish,
right?
And that cost, I trepidate to think, but it's available.
There are two different graphics card options available. Just the two, to my knowledge. You can. I think the only upgrading that you can do is the memory of the graphics card. And one thing I did notice, and this is very small, and this is only on my monitor, so I understand like this may not be the truth until we see them in person, you know, at Apple stores and things. There's space gray and silver. And when you go to the page, you get the option of MacBook Pro, and it shows you a 13-inch and a 16-inch, and you can make one of them space gray and one of them silver. And when I compare them, they don't look that different. And my mom currently has a space gray MacBook. Hi, Mom. And her computer is dramatically darker than mine in real life, but my mom's machine's a couple of years old, a year or two old. So that's why I was wondering if maybe the space gray has evolved.
I wouldn't make too much hay of that yet.
Oh, no, I'm not. I just am sort of noticing, like, I wonder if the color has changed a little bit. That's another thing I just sort of saw.
But back to the pro thing.
Yeah.
These are much more pro-like options. Mm-hmm. And the pricing is less gougy for Apple.
Yes.
Less gougy. I want to stress that. It's not ungougy.
I was figuring $3,000 to start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if they started at $37.99. Mm-hmm. I think Dave and John both said they were in, you know, like in a vacuum would have expected $29.99. But regardless, this thing starts at $23.99, and that is with the Core i7 processor. Mm-hmm. And the $27.99 starting point is a Core i9 processor.
Yeah.
And it's too bad it only has 802.11 AC, Brian. Still stuck on AC. I would have expected an advanced machine in December of 2019 to have 802.11ax.
Yeah, Apple's just been somewhat slow to support that, and I don't know why. I bet, John, this is where one of those times where we're going to give Apple a little bit of little bit of benefit of the doubt that there's probably a reason for it.
Yeah. Because they used to be, you know, they were the first with G, I want to say. They were the first with B or N, one of those. Like, in previous iterations, Apple's been real quick to support those. And so I wonder if there's something with X that we just aren't seeing or don't know about. I do want to point out, like we said earlier, this came out with a press release. And the last little bit of that press release was, oh, by the way, we're totally shipping the Mac Pro next month. Bye. Which was sort of surprising. Just to see at the end of it that the Mac Pro and its display will be available in December. And then there was like a little bit of a breakdown of what kind of specs you get with that. And both, all they said, there was no number. There was just December. It said both will be available to order in December through Apple.com. And that's all they said. Just sort of, I think, as a reminder that, like, yeah, we didn't forget about that machine. We know it's coming and it's totally going to be here. We've seen some complaints, particularly from your friend of mine, John Keat, about this new Monster Mac Pro not being the latest and greatest by the time it's out. Yeah. And which is that, legitimate. That is
by definition a thing.
Yes, which is legitimate. But I want to talk, John, I want to put you on the spot a little bit about what these processors are like, because we've talked about processors before, you and I. We've done it on the show talking about how the iMac compares and different things. So I want to find out a little bit more about these ninth generation Core processors, because there's a Core i7 in the entry model, in the good, and then the better is a Core i9. They're both ninth generation. One has 6 cores, one has 8. Can you tell us a little bit about those processors?
No, I cannot, because I have forgotten what the ninth generation name is from Intel. I forget.
That sounds right. I might be wrong about that, but that sounds ninth like the one that we've discussed.
Core i9. If only there was some sort of way where we could connect to an online.
Brian is my research assistant today.
An online collection of information.
I wish Apple made more fuss about that. They tend to suppress that terminology. So when it comes to comparing to other Windows notebooks, you sort of always figure, you know, I'm not quite sure what Apple's doing there.
Well, and that's the thing that Brian's talked about on the show, where Apple is competing on experience and not on spec, because we used to have the, you know, we had the processor race forever, and that kind of went away, and it's, you know, it's part of that, like.
Yeah, well, there are Apple fans who don't care what the processor is, but there are people who are in IT and scientists, right, and professionals who live in both worlds and have, right, to use both machines and have respect for both platforms. Mm-hmm. And so keeping those people up to date about what you're doing is useful.
Yeah.
Is it still Coffee Lake?
No.
Ice Lake. No.
Ice Lake.
No.
Crater Lake.
Ninth generation. Is this right? Ninth generation is not the 10 nanometer Ice Lake.
Is it? No, that's not it. I was going to say KB Lake, but that's not right.
No, that was even before.
That's older.
Coffee, yeah. That's older. It was 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Skylake was 16. KB Lake was 17. Coffee Lake was 18. 2018. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, this glorious research service that you're using, how's it doing?
It is slow going.
I think it's Ice Lake.
Slogging out. I was reading a piece that said it's very specifically not the Ice Lake.
Oh, okay.
Intel launched its ninth generation, aka Coffee Lake Refresh.
Coffee Lake Refresh. If ninth so, generation. I would be disappointed. Mm-hmm. The Ice Lake is 10th generation.
Yeah. So, all right. So, what I was a little bit perhaps doing a really bad job of researching, because it's the MacBook Pro that uses ninth generation.
Ice Lake is Intel's code name for the 10th generation Intel Core processors based on the Sunny Cove microarchitecture.
So what does Mac Pro use?
Uses 9th generation. So that must be Coffee Lake.
The MacBook Pro uses 9th generation. Does the Mac Pro also use 9th generation?
No, it uses Xeons.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that takes a little bit of my edge off, my enthusiasm.
Because they're Ice Lake?
Because it's not Ice Lake, apparently, because it's apparently it's Coffee Lake Refresh.
Oh, okay. So, and part of the reason that matters is because we've talked about John's MacBook, and John's had his MacBook for a while. It's a machine that's starting to show its age a little bit, I would say. Does that sound like a fair assessment, John?
Yeah, it's 4 years old, and it was fine for its day, but my wife bought a 2018 MacBook Pro 15-inch and 13-inch, and it's glorious, and it kind of makes me a little bit jealous that I have kind of a single port doofus little 12-inch screen. So I'm ready.
And knowing what the processor is in this machine and knowing how much you will be paying for this machine, what's your stance on this 16-inch model being a successor to the one that you've got?
I think a 16-inch display is overkill for my desk. I use my MacBook for research and development. I try to put the latest version of macOS on it for testing, sometimes betas. I don't do any work on it. I just use it for research and playing around and experimentation. So I don't need to invest $3,000 in a machine. It would take up a lot of room on my desk to do that job.
True.
Yeah.
Because you're not your daily driver is an iMac, right? No, Mac Pro. You have a Mac Pro.
My daily driver is a black cylinder Mac Pro. Yeah. It's getting old too.
Yeah. You have the R5 D4 Mac Pro. And Brian, you're team iMac.
I am team iMac for my daily work, mostly for the display. I would love a new Mac Pro. Don't need one. kind of would like an iMac Pro, but the fact that I can't get into it really turns me off. And the fact that it's 2.5 year old technology at this point for zero year old prices.
Yes.
Is a huge turnoff. And for when I need to be mobile, I've got a MacBook Air. I would probably, though, get a MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro for my mobile needs. I'm definitely not in the need. Anything bigger than 13-inch would be just, you know, like vanity, big.
Yeah.
Look at my display. Look at my display. It's so big. I don't need it. I don't spend enough time on it. even if I went back to living in coffee shops, which I will at some point, when I have the time to get back to writing fiction, I would do that on a 13-inch.
Okay.
I would do that on a 13-inch.
One thing that we talked about briefly this morning before we started recording the show was, the fact that, if you're going to huff around the 16-inch machine as your mobile device, that you probably have to travel business class at a minimum because this won't fit on a tray table. If you have a 16-inch.
If you want to use it.
Right.
Obviously, you could haul it in and not use it in coach.
You could have it in cattle class, but it's not going to... Good luck getting it on a tray table. So that's another thing to consider. If you're a person who has to do a lot of traveling with it, then the 16-inch may not be the machine for you. I am curious to see it in person, just to see what the new keyboard is like. One of the things that I've tried to encourage people to do for years who are in the market for a new laptop is go to a store that sells them and type on one and see what you get. See how it works. See how you feel about it. You know, one one issue that a lot of people had with the keyboard, aside from the physical performance of, you know, if you look at it really hard, the keyboard, the keys will start to skip, is that every one of those keys is loud. And even just, you know, I'm dashing off a quick little email to my mom sounds like, I think it was described to me as everything you type on that keyboard sounds like you're writing an angry manifesto. And that's kind of true. So I'm very interested in the keyboard. I'm also interested in what iFixit can tell us about the innards, how much stuff is soldered together, how much stuff is user upgradable.
Yeah,
and it's only an 8-bit display too, so there's no Dolby Vision.
Okay.
Not that there's been Dolby Vision on any of the MacBook Pros as we discussed in the morning meeting.
Yes.
But it would have been nice to see Apple upgrade the display and take that move to Dolby Vision because, you know, you can watch Apple TV Plus on your Mac. Why not watch it in Dolby Vision? That's a mystery to me. I'm sure there's a good technical reason for it. But
there is. It's called, we have an Apple TV if you want to do that.
Of course, you know, it... it's only a 9th generation and it doesn't have Dolby Vision and the price is right. So all these things I'm wishing for could have driven the price up too.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very, that's very true.
Yeah.
And, but just to also put a sort of cotter pin onto the upgradability issue, even if these things are not soldered in, I doubt they'll be user upgradable.
Right.
But if they're upgradable at all, that will be a step forward.
Exactly. And I feel like that's definitely a thing that would set a pro machine apart from the others.
It should.
Yeah.
iMac Pro. Excuse me. Sorry. I had a little iMac Pro stuck in my throat. Yeah.
Do you have something with a bunch of little holes drilled in it stuck in your throat there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It happens. All right. That's going to do it for us today. I would like very much to hear from our wonderful listeners. Are you in the market for a 16-inch machine? And if not, also, like, why, you know, if you're in the market for a laptop, is the 16-inch machine for you? How do you feel about this Core i9 processor? Is the 16-inch screen the right way to go for you or not? I'm very interested in that because the larger size machines, I'm always really curious what the use case is on that. So talk to us. You can do so at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John Dickinson Martellaro, thank you so much for joining me.
You did it again. 2 days in a row. John Dickinson Martellaro signing off. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks for joining us. Also with me, I have Brian really needs a nickname, Chaffin.
I've got tons. Thank you for having me.
Kelly. Ones I can use here on the show, Brian. Yeah.
Good to be here.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.